happy to have everyone here today, especially our visitors, and we encourage you to be back anytime, and also encourage all to be back tonight at 6 o'clock, where we'll continue our worship of the Lord this evening at 6. This morning we're going to be talking about forgiveness, based on the text in Matthew chapter 18, beginning at verse 21. So turn with me, and it's on the screen here. Peter came to Jesus and said, "Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times?" Jesus said unto him, "I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times 7. Therefore the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents, a great amount. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, the Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, all that he had, and payment to be made. Beginning at verse 26, the servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I'll repay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, a very small amount. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I'll pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. In verse 31, so when his fellow servant saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after he had called him, said to him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou have compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father also do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. See, the servant that was forgiven owed much. He owed, the text says, 10,000 talents. That's over $10 million. One marginal reading that I have in the Bible program, they say that a talent is equal to 750 ounces of silver. For today's price, about $15 an ounce, that's over $11,000. Times 10,000, it's over $11 million. So this servant was one who besought his master, and his master forgave him that debt. The same servant went out and tried to collect an amount owed him, a very small amount, 100 pence. $15. Think about that. $11 million versus $15. That he would not forgive the servant that owed him a small amount, and he cast him into prison. See, he did not show this servant that owed him the small amount the same compassion that he was shown. And the Lord warns Peter, when he asked, how many times shall I forgive my brother? He said, until 70 times 7. That doesn't mean 490 times. That means as often as he repents, you're forgiven. We'll get into that more. So the wicked servant was found out when the king gained knowledge that the servant that he had forgave had demanded a much smaller portion to be paid by his debtor. He was angry with his servant. The wicked servant is called into question. The king explains to the servant that he should have exacted the mercy and forgiveness to the man that owed him the small amount. So the Lord now brings a lesson to Peter, and he said that, likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every brother their trespass. We think about forgiveness. There's some fundamental truths that we need to keep in mind. First of all, We must follow God's pattern for forgiveness. God is the pattern that we're to follow. Paul said in Colossians chapter 3, verse 12, he said, "Put on therefore as elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering." Then he said in verse 13, "Forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ also forgave you, so also do ye." So we're to forgive as God, as Christ forgives, aren't we? He's the pattern. That's the pattern we're to follow. See, we cannot forgive a sinner who refuses to repent. God doesn't, does he? Does he do that? Can you find a passage that says that he will forgive a sinner who does not repent? In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, the text says there, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, all men, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all come to repentance." So those who do not repent will perish. That's the what we can gain out of that verse. But those who do repent will not perish. So the Lord is not willing that any should perish. He provides a way whereby our sins can be remitted. He's shown us compassion and mercy, hasn't he? Then in 1 John chapter 5, verse 16, John talked about the sin unto death. He said, "If any man see his brother sin, a sin which is not unto death," that is, the sin one does persist in, the sin one repents of and asks forgiveness for, "that he shall ask and shall give him life for them that sin not unto death." He says, "There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin, and there's a sin not unto death." The sin unto death is a sin that one persists in and one does not confess and repent of. We're not to pray for that individual who is involved in persistent sin. We're to pray that they'll repent. We can do that. But to pray that they be forgiven when they're persisting in sin, that is not God's pattern, is it? Think about that. So we must forgive a sinner who repents, mustn't we? And our forgiveness is dependent upon our forgiving others, isn't it? Just like our text shows. So forgive. Now, what is it? It's defined by the American Heritage Dictionary as to give up resentment against or stop wanting to punish someone for an offense or fault or to pardon them. To relent in being angry or in wishing to exact punishment for an offense or fault. To absolve from payment of a debt, as an example. So in our text, a man is absolved of a debt, a great debt that he owed. Then Strong's definition is this. In the verb form, it comes from two Greek words, apo and hemi. Denotes besides. Its other meaning is to remit or forgive, to forgive debts. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 12, Jesus said when he taught his disciples how to pray, he says, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive others." Then we see in Matthew chapter 18 where the Lord was moved with compassion with that servant, and he forgave him the debt, a monetary amount. Verse 32, we see that his Lord, after he had called him, said unto him, "O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me." But he wouldn't forgive the man who owed him the small amount. So we see where that word is used. It involves sins, the forgiveness of sins. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 2, the text says there, "And behold, they brought him to a man sick of the palsy, and Jesus said, 'Thy sins be forgiven,' to that man sick of the palsy." And people there questioned him about that. And he said, "For whether is it easier to say, 'Thy sins be forgiven thee,' or to say, 'Arise and walk'?" See, not everybody can forgive sins. We can say it. Everybody can say, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." Everybody can say that. But can we? See, we can't. But Jesus was questioned about whether he could forgive sins. And he said, "For whether is it easier to say, 'Thy sins be forgiven thee,' or to say, 'Arise and walk'?" He said, that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Then he says to the sick of the palsy, take up thy bed and go into thine house. Prove that he, when he said thy sins be forgiven, they were forgiven. See, it proves that. Then we see it's used over in Acts chapter 8, verse 22. For the Simon, will Saul repent therefore of your wickedness and pray to God that perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven you? In Romans chapter 4, verse 7, Paul says, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. James chapter 5, verse 15, James said, the power of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. And then in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, John said, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So to put away, to send away, or to put away those sins to our account is what forgive means. But what does forgive not mean? What it's not, we want to talk about. It's not ignoring the sin, is it? Jesus said, take heed to yourselves, that thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. If he repent, forgive him. So we can't just ignore the sin. It's not a prohibition against the sinner. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7, Paul warned the Corinthians because they had not properly forgiven the man who evidently had asked for forgiveness. He said, so that contrarywise you ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with over much sorrow. So evidently they hadn't shown the proper attitude toward that one that they rebuked. It's not limited, is it? In Matthew chapter 18 again, verse 21 through 22, when Peter came and said, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Until seven times. And Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee seven times, but until 70 times seven. As oft as the one asked for forgiveness and repent for to render that to them. Then it's not a refusal to return evil for evil. In Romans chapter 12, beginning at verse 17. Turn with me to Romans chapter 12, beginning at verse 17. Paul said there, recompense to no man evil for evil, provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peacefully with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place to the wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I'll repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head. But be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. So to refuse to exact evil on one is not what forgiveness is all about. And we shouldn't exact evil on anyone. That's the Lord's territory to deal with. And then it's not relieving the sinner unconditionally, is it? In Luke chapter 23, verse 34, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So when he said that, to those that he speak of, was there blanket forgiveness there? No, it wasn't. Now, the expression of Christ simply sets forth his love and desire that his Father be gracious in dealing with these people. The word forgive, however, indicates that the actions of the ones crucifying him were an affront to God and therefore sin, which would come within the scope of the Father's demand for his Son's death on the cross. So, by Jesus providing his Son, sending his Son to die for all sinners, forgiveness, or the route to forgiveness was provided, wasn't it? That people say to me when Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, they're just totally forgiven. But they continued to preach the gospel in Jerusalem, didn't they? So we see where throughout Acts 2, 3, 4, and 5, you see where the gospel was preached. If they were totally forgiven, why preach the gospel there? That's my question. But forgiveness, examples to follow. We need to remember the lost son's father who represents God in Luke chapter 15. When the lost son arose and came to his father, when he was a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion on him and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring out the best robe and put on him, and put on a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And he began to be merry. So his father received him back. That's the example we're to follow. That's the example that we need to keep in mind. See, Stephen forgave his enemies. It's like Jesus saying, Thy sins be forgiven thee. Stephen had an attitude of forgiveness. He had a forgiving spirit. And when he was stoned, he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice. He said, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he died of soul sleep. But Paul had a forgiving spirit. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16, Paul said, At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. Paul didn't hold that against them. He said, I pray God that it might not be laid to their charge. So Paul didn't show resentment towards those that forsook him, but he prayed that God would not hold them accountable for them. Then the erring brother is another example in Corinth. He said, But if any have caused grief, he hath not grieved me, but in part, that I may not overcharge you all. Sufficient to such a man is this punishment, which was inflicted of many. He says, So that contrarywise you ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. Wherefore I beseech you that you would confirm your love toward him. Paul urged the Corinthians to receive the erring brother back who had repented. Evidently they hadn't done that. And Paul told them to do it. And over in 1 Corinthians chapter, or 2 Corinthians chapter 7, we see where they did that, and Paul commends them for it. But forgive. Now, how do we do that? As God forgives, mustn't we? See, God blots out the sin, doesn't he? In Acts chapter 3, verse 19 rather. Protect as I repent, therefore, and be converted that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. God does not remember the sin. The Hebrew writer said in Hebrews chapter 12, beginning, or 10 rather, or well, let me go to Hebrews chapter 8. I didn't change the slide. Hebrews chapter 8, and then we'll look at another passage I have in my notes. Hebrews chapter 8, beginning at verse 12. In Hebrews chapter 8, beginning at verse 12, the text is there, For I'll be merciful unto their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities I'll remember no more. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 16, the writer says there, This is the covenant that I will make with them. After those days, saith the Lord, I'll put my laws in their hearts, and in their minds I'll write them, and their sins and iniquities I'll remember no more. So when God forgives one today under the new law, when God forgives of our sin, He doesn't remember him, does he? He doesn't remember him. And see, He restores the sinner who repents. And goes to Luke chapter 15 regarding the son that returned back to his father when he came back to him. And he said, For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they begin to be merry. So the father who represents God received him back, didn't he? When he repented. But why should we forgive? Well, because God has forgiven us, hasn't he? You ever thought about that? That's where the power to forgive others lies. Because God has forgiven us. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, he said, And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. What's our attitude to be? To be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. How? As God for Christ's sake hath forgiven us. So therein lies the power to forgive others, because God has forgiven us. Then only the merciful shall obtain mercy. Jesus, when he taught the Sermon on the Mount, said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 7, Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. The man who didn't show mercy to the man who to the his fellow servant, he owed him $15. Did his master show mercy to him after that? No, he didn't, did he? In Matthew chapter 6, verse 14, Jesus said, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive men not their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses." So you must be compassionate because we have received compassion of God. In Luke chapter 6, verse 36, Jesus said, "Be therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful." There's the pattern. Why forgive? Because God commands it, doesn't he? In Mark chapter 11, verse 25, the text is there, "And when you stand praying, forgive, if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses," Jesus said. The example of Jesus demanded in Luke chapter 23, verse 34, Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." We have been showed mercy by God, haven't we? In Matthew chapter 5, verse 7, Jesus said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." So forgiveness is an act of mercy, not justice. Remember that now. Now, God is a just God. He requires one to repent, doesn't he? In order to be forgiven. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Those in Corinth were justified before God. He said, "Know ye not," beginning at verse 9, "know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?" He said, "Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves of mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." So a whole range of different sins, very despicable sins in God's eyes. All sins despicable, but to be an idolater, to be an adulterer, to be a homosexual, to be a sodomite, those are the types of things people engage in that were forgiven. He said, "And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of our Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." How? Because they obeyed the gospel. They were justified. So the Lord has shown us mercy. We have to be merciful because we've been forgiven. Again, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. "Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ for God's sake has forgiven you." James said in James chapter 2, verse 13, "For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy." Mercy triumphs over judgment. And making peace requires it, doesn't it? In Romans chapter 14, verse 19, Paul said, "Let us therefore follow after things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify one another." But why forgive? Some more reasons. Because the law of brotherly love requires it. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, when he talked about love, he said, "Love or charity suffereth long, is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly, speaketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil." So we're looking out for the best and looking towards the best of an individual when we're acting by love. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 10, John said, "Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another, John said. Then in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8, Peter said, "And above all things, have fervent love for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sins." And then the golden rule demands it, doesn't it? When we ask for forgiveness, we would like for someone to grant us forgiveness if we truly repented. But in Matthew chapter 7, verse 12, Jesus said, "Therefore all things whatsoever men that ye would that men should do to you, do even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets." So we desire forgiveness, don't we? So we need to grant forgiveness. You see, the quality of our character is reflected by whether or not we forgive. In Romans chapter 12, beginning at verse 17 again, Paul said, "Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. And if it be possible, as much as life, then you live peacefully with all men." Then he said, Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place to the wrath. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," saith the Lord. "Therefore, if thy enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head. And be not overcome with evil, but overcome with evil with good." So our character quality, or quality of our character, reflected by whether or not we forgive. Then our worship can be affected by it. Our worship can be made vain. Jesus taught this over in Matthew chapter 5, verse 22. He said, "But I say unto you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever says to his brother, 'Raca,' shall be in danger of the council. Whoever says, 'You fool,' shall be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift therefore at the altar and go your way, and first be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift." Jesus taught over in Matthew chapter 18, previous to what we had talked about and read of already this morning in that chapter, how to forgive a brother or deal with a brother who sins against you. He said, "Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between he and you and him alone. And if he hears you, you've gained your brother. And if he will not hear you, take you one or two or more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he refuses to hear them, tell him to the church. But if he refuses to hear the church, let him be to you as a heathen and a publican or a tax collector." So God has told us and directed us, instructed us how to deal with our brethren who have ought against us or have sins against us, and we need to do that lest our worship be made in vain. Forgiving others, is that possible? You ever heard people say, "I'll never be able to forgive that individual"? Ever heard people say that? Well, you forgive or forgave when you were a child, weren't you? Remember when you were a kid? Somebody did something to you, did you forgive them? Do you remember that? You don't remember it too often, because you forgave them. You've forgiven your children as parents, haven't you? We all have, haven't we? You forgive yourself, forget your own faults, don't you? Some say, "Well, I'll never, no matter what, I can never forgive that individual." Is that the right attitude? Is that the right attitude? Well, Paul said, forgive. That Paul's love for man demands it, doesn't it? He said, "Take not account of evil," in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, looking at the American Standard Version. Take not account of evil. And God says we must, doesn't he? Again, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31, says, "Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ has forgave you." So one who's repented and seeks one's forgiveness and they won't give it, what attitude they have? What attitude have they not put away? They're still holding on to bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking, aren't they? And malice. See that? Look at verse 31. He said, "Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." And we talked about putting away lying. So when one says, "I can't forgive him no matter what happens," you have to put that attitude away, or you won't be forgiven, see? Because Christ has forgiven us, hasn't he? When and how often are we forgiven? Well, when a sinner repents, we're to forgive. In Matthew chapter 18, when Peter came to him, he said, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times?" Jesus said unto him, "I do not say up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven." Up to 70 times seven. See, forgiveness is not about numbers, but willingness. That's what it's about. 70 times seven if necessary. Not 490 times in a day, but as often as a sinner repents, I must be willing to forgive. It's talking about willingness. Willingness. Remember Luke chapter 17. Luke's account. He says, "Take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. If you repent, forgive him. If he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day return to you saying, 'I repent,' you shall forgive him." That's the Lord's direction. So how are we to forgive? How are we to forgive? As God forgives us, doesn't he? Aren't we? Again, Ephesians 4, verse 32. He said, "And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ has forgiven you." We're to forgive without conditions and fully. Like the Hebrew writer said in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 16 through 17, "And their sins and iniquities I'll remember no more." How many have you heard say, "Well, I'll never forget what he did to me"? Is that how God forgives? That's not how God forgives, is it? He forgives, doesn't he? And we're to forgive those who repent. And we're to forgive from the heart. Go back to our text. In Matthew chapter 18, beginning at verse 32. When his Lord, after he had called him, said to him, "O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee?" And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors, so he should pay all that was due him. So likewise, Jesus said, "Shall my Heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your hearts," notice that, "from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses." So in conclusion, we need to develop a forgiving heart. We need to forgive sinners when they repent. We need to forgive them fully and without conditions. We need to pray for God's help and forgiveness and for sinners that they might repent. We need to develop an understanding heart. Solomon said in Proverbs 8, verse 5, it says, "O you simple ones, understand prudence. And you fools, be of an understanding heart." If we're not of an understanding heart or forgiving heart, we're foolish. That's what we are. We need to be compassionate and merciful. He says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." When you sin, repent and seek God's forgiveness. Because John said, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse from all unrighteousness. So in closing, the verse that sums it up in my judgment is this one right here, Ephesians 4, verse 32. Where he's going to be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. How? Even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. That's a lesson. We never want to close the service without giving anyone the opportunity to render obedience to the Lord. Alien sinners must hear the gospel. Paul said in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Faith in Christ comes by hearing God's word. We must believe that he's the Christ. Jesus said, "If you believe not that by him he shall die in your sins," then we must repent of our sins. In Acts chapter 17, verse 30, Paul said, "The times of the deceivers, God winked at now commanded all men everywhere to repent." We must confess Christ as being Lord. He said, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven." And we must be baptized in water for the remission of sins, to wash away our sins. Peter told those on Pentecost when they said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" He said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for or in order to obtain remission of sins. See, an erring child of God, one who has sinned, needs to repent and pray for forgiveness. As we said this morning in 1 John 1 verse 9, he said, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. And Christians must live faithful until we die in order to receive the crown of life that's been promised to us. If there's anyone who desires to respond to the Lord's invitation this morning, we urge that you do so. Together we stand and sing the song that's been selected. Shall we stand while we sing?